Good morning, everyone. Instead of having our usual good morning of just greeting one another, I thought we would spend a little bit of time praying for people in particular. It's been a difficult week for Mike Goslin. I'm glad that Mike is with us. He's been suffering some medical difficulties with particular strokes and so forth. The fact that he's with us today is off the charts brilliant, and we're delighted that he's with us. Also, this coming week, Helen Ballingy will be going into, tomorrow actually, going into the Hamilton General. She's been dealing with a blood clot in her heart, and they're going to be getting something done as quickly as possible. Also, there's a man that I met this week. I guess I had met him previously and had forgotten. A very good friend of Chris Follows. His name is Kevin. And Kevin is a very accomplished professional, but right now is battling with stage 4 colon cancer. And so he and I spent about 3 hours together this past week and shared a lot back and forth. So those are just a few people of many people who are in need of prayers. And in your bulletin, you'll notice other people who are mentioned, and there's always a few people who fall through the cracks. You probably have people in your own lives, whether it be family, friends, or associates who you're praying for. And what I'd like to do this morning as we begin, and just before we get into our sermon, is just to have a time of silent prayer. Each person, please just bow your heads and pray as you will, and then I'll finish that prayer together. So let's go ahead and do that. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being with us today, especially with those names mentioned and all the others not mentioned, but that your arms are already around them. May we as your people embrace you and embrace each other. We thank you for always hearing us, and we thank you that you are such a loving, saving, and healing God. In Christ we give thanks. Amen. So today is what is typically the first day of what is normally called Holy Week. And I think that's a good name. I like the word holy. We've been talking about sacraments. They're days that are set apart that we really focus on. Obviously, when we get together on the first day of the week, it's really important to us. But today is called Holy Week because we celebrate Palm Sunday, wonderful story that was just read by Brandon. It's Jesus riding into Jerusalem. It's the Sunday before the next Sunday. That next Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday. And so Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem, and I love this. He's not riding into Jerusalem on a black horse, signifying war. He's not riding in on a white horse, signifying victory. He's riding on an up to this point unridden colt, which signifies peace. But that peace is going to come at an awful price. Good Friday comes after Palm Sunday. And Good Friday is interesting, and we're going to talk about that this week because we're going to be hosting a Good Friday service here at our building this coming Friday at 7 p.m. We really hope that you will be able to be here, plus bring some friends with you. And it's interesting, it's called Good Friday. Have you ever wondered why it's called Good Friday? We'll talk a little bit about that, because especially if you've ever seen the movie and in fact just read the story of what happens on that Friday, it's anything but good, and yet it's really, really good. And then following that comes, of course, Easter, the resurrection, and what all of that means to us. But we can't get ahead of ourselves. I don't know about you, I always want to rush to Easter. I always want to rush to the resurrection, but I don't think the resurrection will ever mean what it needs to mean, at least for me, if we don't spend time really understanding what Good Friday is all about, and at the same time, understanding what this is about, what Palm Sunday is about, what it means. It means peace, that he's bringing peace. I love scriptures that remind us of all of this. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." And then he says this, "My peace I give to you." I don't know about you, but I'd rather have his peace than mine. And he gives that peace to us. So the story goes something like this. And I suspect that any song comes from a story. Gentleman by the name of, kind of a regal name, Horatio Spafford. He was, in fact, a very successful lawyer in Chicago. His business was so good that he bought up a lot of real estate. And then in 1871, his legal practice was in Chicago. The great Chicago fire took place and wiped out all of his holdings. His legal practice was still good, but it knocked him back for a loop. And because of all of that, he and his wife and his four daughters said, "We've been living through this tension for a long, long time. We need a break." So they decided that they were going to sail across to Europe, have a European vacation. So they weren't poor people. We're going to go across and just get a break. And at the last moment, Spafford received a cable saying that there was urgent business that he had to tend to. So he said to his wife and his four daughters, "We've got the tickets, you go. I'll be a few days late, but I'll get the next ship out, so you go." And if you know the story, as they're crossing the Atlantic, of all things, they are rammed by a ship, another ship. You would think with the wide open sea that there would be no problem, but their ship was collided. Their ship, with the wife and four daughters, sank in 12 minutes. That's how bad the wreck was. So news spread that this ship had sunk, and there were a few survivors, but no one knew who the survivors were. A couple of days went by, and Mrs. Spafford, who survived, sent a cable to her husband with two words: "Saved alone." The four daughters drowned. So what do you do with that? Well, he caught the next ship. And when they got to the spot where they think the vessel had sunk, he sat down at that day and wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way." You know the hymn, don't you? "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it's well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless state and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. One of the great hymns that we sing, but when we know the story behind it, maybe it becomes even more profound. And I love his last thought, when the clouds part and Christ comes. And I love that scene in the Bible where it talks about how God is going to renew everything. And all that sorrow and all that pain that we felt, and it cost so much, will be replaced by the ongoing peace and presence of Christ. But Spafford had it right, that even at that lowest moment in his life, he hung on, he clung on to the peace of God. Because the peace of God, I think, is felt best when we hurt and are afraid and are lonely the most. Don't you think so? That the peace of God really becomes the peace of God when there are no answers. In fact, most scriptures dealing with the peace of God put peace and fear together. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will help guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And if you'd grab a Bible concordance and look at how often the word peace is used or the presence of God is used, it's so many. And I'm grateful for it, because peace and fear often dance together. And you may remember the command in the Bible that is given more often than any other command is, do not be afraid. And so what do you do when you are afraid? You give it to the one who brings that peace. Peace beyond description, beyond understanding, a transcending, even in the middle of sorrow, which does not replace the sorrow, but it comes alongside the sorrow. Because the reality of Christianity, and seeming like today, with what's often preached as the prosperity gospel, it's never, ever think any negative thought. And when something negative comes along, well, it must be a lack of faith, and it isn't. Jesus wept. Jesus understands pain. He understands loneliness. My goodness, if anyone understands physical pain, it was Jesus. In fact, he understood emotional pain. He looked at his city that he loved, and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have killed the prophets and stoned those who have sent to you, how long have I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? And he weeps for his Jerusalem. And at that same time, he comes to offer us peace. So this brief message today, I want to share with you one scripture from the book of Ephesians. It's always been helpful, and maybe if you can find something from it that would be helpful to you, I think it would be good. The context of Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, is the story of Jews and Gentiles coming together, and neither one of them feeling excluded, but both of them coming together as one, but not just coming together as one. I think we've talked about this before. When Barb and I had the privilege of being in Europe, we understood the difference between parallel eating and personalized eating. Sometimes in restaurants, there'd be so many people in a restaurant that you sat down beside strangers. And it's very typical that that happens in Europe, apparently quite often. You don't, in Canada, it's a little bit different. Maybe we're just used to having lots of space. You sit down at the table and that's where you're going to be. But all of a sudden in Europe, you've got people sitting beside you. You've never met them. You don't ever know anything about them. We're trying to be pleasant people, and so we want to engage in conversation with people who've joined our table, and they're not interested. They didn't come to sit with us to talk to us. They came to sit so they could eat. And so there's a difference between four people sitting together and sharing a conversation and just two people talking and these two people talking. There's a difference between parallel eating and personalized eating. You can have people sitting in a pew who sit at one end or the other who will never talk to each other. And that's what you call parallel sitting, parallel eating. But here, and thank goodness our church is not that way, but here we have what's called personalized fellowship. It's people sharing with one another. A meal is highly digestible when we have personalized eating, especially when Jesus said, we reclined at the table. You know there's conversation. You know the food tastes that much better because there's this lovely, warm fellowship that we enjoy in this church. But here in Ephesians chapter 2, this is parallel sitting, parallel conversations. Jews will talk to Jews, Gentiles will talk to Gentiles. Jews will eat with Jews, Gentiles will eat with Gentiles. Paul comes along and smashes this to pieces, reminding all of us that Jesus was the greatest example of inclusion ever, eating with people who were considered unclean. And Jesus felt so comfortable bringing everyone together, and he still does, and that's still our message. In the middle of fear and pain and doubt and hurt and loneliness, we come together as one and share peace that is beyond description. Now we read, beginning in verse 11. Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, called, quotation, uncircumcised, which is really very much a spiritual word, saying you're not part of us, by those who call themselves the circumcision, we are God's people, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And that phrase, far away, do you remember Acts 2? This same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they asked, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away. Paul says, here they are. Those that were once far away have been brought near. And then it says in verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh, that's Good Friday, the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through all those who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. it's this peace. And I think it's so interesting that the Sunday before his resurrection, he gives this peace. And what's going to happen during that next week is going to be anything but, except there comes the next Sunday. And in the resurrection, Christ stands with them. So there's context and purpose. Long before Jesus is arrested, when Jesus says to his disciples, and I think to us, "My peace I give you." Because they're going to need that. And I think there are times in our life when we've needed that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for always being a step ahead of us and yet not rushing past where we are right now. Thank you that you give us peace, but not just peace. You give us your peace. Help us to be in the storm as long as you're with us. And we know that you always are. Thank you. May we be examples this week of your peace. And as we experience the last week, throughout this week, and then Good Friday, and then the resurrection, that we won't run to the resurrection. We want to. We want to get there right now. But we want to go through what it cost to get there, so that your peace may be more real than it ever has been before. We ask this of you. In Christ's name, amen.